Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Did you know that the word pornography means writing about a prostitute? The word pornography is composed of two Greek words, porne, a prostitute, and graphein, to write. So when Americans defend child pornography, they are defending writing about children who are made prostitutes. It is absolutely beyond my comprehension that any decent human being would publish, sell, read, or defend the very worst smut the human race can invent. Pornographers, especially child pornographers, are the very worst corruptors of children on earth. When they speak of child pornography or of any other kind as art, they are lying, and know they are lying. Their major motivation is making money at the expense of destroying the innocence of our children and of our young people. The publishers are the filth of the earth and deserve to be locked away from the rest of society. On April the 16th, 2002, the United States Supreme Court made a grievous blunder in its ruling on computer simulations of children engaged in sexually explicit conduct. The court struck down on free speech grounds the key provisions in a 1996 child pornography law. Six of the justices said the provisions of the law were too broad and would prevent producing Shakespeare's famous play, Romeo and Juliet, since Juliet was only 13 years of age. The reasoning of the majority of the justices shows their inclination to undermine the moral values of our society. They obviously have an agenda that is far more important to them than protecting the children of America. The First Amendment to our Constitution does not allow for the destruction of our youth and of our older people. The Supreme Court's decision was immoral, unconscionable, sickening, and diabolical. Unless the Congress gets busy and writes a law that the Supreme Court, in all its infinite wisdom, allows to stand, the damage the Supreme Court's decision will do probably cannot be measured in this life. The Tennessean, Wednesday, April the 17th, 2002, published an article with the title, "Key Parts of Child Pornography Law Are Ruled Unconstitutional." The article by Ann Guerin was distributed by Associated Press and Dateline, Washington, D.C. According to the article, Associate Justice Anthony M. Kennedy wrote the opinion for the 6-3 majority of the court. One would think that any man who has children or grandchildren would recoil under legalizing child pornography, whether computer-generated or otherwise. But apparently, six members of the Supreme Court could care less about the abuse and the misuse of the children of our nation. Justice Kennedy wrote in the decision, "The statute proscribes the visual depiction of an idea, that of teenagers engaging in sexual activity. That is a fact of modern society and has been a theme in art and literature throughout the ages." Page 7a. Teenagers having sex certainly is nothing new in pre-modern cultures and in our own nation. But does that justify allowing teenage sex, or any other kind, to be depicted on the internet or in the movies? Children who are too young and too immature are being simulated by the so-called simulated sex on the internet. Anyone who thinks what children see on television, in the movies, and on the internet will have no effect on their behavior is either lying or ignorant or both. In the words of Dr. Richard Weaver, an English professor at the University of Chicago, ideas have consequences. What children see and hear, they will translate into behavior in their own lives. Do the child pornography supporting Supreme Court justices not know that, or does it make any difference to them? But say the members of the ACLU and other supporters of child pornography, "We must defend the Constitution of the United States." Is anyone so naive as to believe the ACLU and the majority of the Supreme Court justices care all that much about the Constitution? The Supreme Court has violated the Constitution so many times, it almost seems that the members of the court have never even read it, or could care less about what it says. Instead of interpreting the Constitution, in many cases, they have read into it what they wanted to say. The abortion decision is just one example. There is not a man on earth who can find in the Constitution the right of mothers and their doctors to kill babies. The ACLU constantly tramples on the rights that the Constitution guarantees every American citizen. The history of the ACLU shows how little its members care about our Constitution and about the rights of Americans. After studying the ACLU for many years, it is my considered judgment that it is an abominable organization. It has always defended the most immoral practices. When the defenders of child pornography deny the damage pornography does to the people who view it, they are ignoring what every reasonable person in the world knows, and that is, what we see and hear has a direct bearing on our behavior. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote in his poem, Ulysses, "I am a part of all that I have met." Did Tennyson mean that what he had seen and heard made an impression for good or bad on his character? We may not be able to discern what Tennyson had in mind, but we know what Jesus meant when he told some Pharisees, "Those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Matthew 15:19-20. Why do our young people kill one another, engage in sexual immorality, and commit other sins and crimes? The answer, according to the Son of God, can hardly be simpler. Those sins originate in the heart. Earlier in the book of Matthew, Jesus had said to the Pharisees, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your word you shall be justified, and by your word you shall be condemned." Matthew 12:31-37. At a time when 1 million girls become pregnant out of wedlock every year, the United States Supreme Court encourages sexual immorality by legalizing some of the raunchiest printed material or computer-generated trash imaginable. Men and women do not have good enough judgment to sit on the Supreme Court if they do not know that pornography whets the sexual appetites of young men and women and leads in many cases to behavior that virtually destroys the lives of those young people. Long before modern pornography was invented, Solomon knew the damage wrong thoughts do to people's lives. By divine inspiration, he offered this advice: "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 23:7. What we think determines how we live. If we dwell on child pornography, we are likely to commit grievous sexual sin, including the abuse of children. Almost all men who sexually abuse children, and that includes priests and preachers, are addicted to child pornography. It is almost impossible to get down in the sewer without being contaminated. No decent man, I repeat, no decent man, will have anything to do with child pornography, except to oppose it with all his heart. There are many reasons for that statement, but I shall mention only one at this time. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his example and by his teaching, strongly condemned abusing children. And all pornography, whether child pornography or otherwise, abuses children. Every Bible student knows these words from the very lips of the Son of God. Except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Matthew 18:3-5. But are we also familiar with what follows in that chapter? But whoso shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Matthew 18:6. The Greek word rendered offend means more than just hurt a child's feeling. The word involves causing one to stumble. Dr. A.T. Robertson's books, Word Pictures of the New Testament, make the following comments on the word offend. It is not the notion of giving offense or provoking, but of setting a trap or a snare for one. Volume 1, page 46. The word means to place a stumbling block in another's way. Causing another to stumble is always a very serious matter. But when the person is a child, the sin is beyond comprehension. Causing a child to stumble will have long-lasting repercussions in this world and will cause the offender to be lost eternally unless he repents. Using a child, whether actual or computer-generated, in sleazy films or on the Internet cannot be excused on any basis. For the 6 Supreme Court justices to argue that the 1996 law violates the free speech provision of the Constitution proves beyond any question that our justices have no respect either for the Constitution or for the children and the young people of our nation. It also shows that when men and women are elevated to the United States Supreme Court, they leave their moral values and their judgment outside the Supreme Court building. And tragically, there is nothing you or I can do about their decision. They are appointed for life and use their influence to alter the moral and political atmosphere of our nation. Those 6 justices are a disgrace to the United States of America and to the human race. Attorney General John Ashcroft has expressed dismay at the court's decision in the pornography case. He deplored the fact that the ruling makes the prosecution of child pornographers more difficult. He wants to work with the Congress to provide new legislation that could withstand the court's scrutiny. I applaud John Ashcroft's stand on child pornography and his willingness to work with Congress on being more precise in the laws regulating child pornography. But I'm not hopeful that the Supreme Court would let any law stand that contradicts what the justices believe about such matters. I sincerely hope that the Attorney General and Congress will cooperate in trying to stop child pornography. But we should not hold our breath until a better law comes from their cooperation. In the meantime, thousands and thousands of children and young people will have their lives irretrievably affected by the court's foolish reasoning. Both houses of Congress are filled with men and women who have had great experience in interpreting the law. Most of them are lawyers and judges. Are the 6 Supreme Court justices more knowledgeable about the law and wiser than the 500 men and women who passed the 1996 law on child pornography? Does this not give some insight into the arrogance of the Supreme Court justices? They ought to know that the Free Speech Clause of the American Constitution does not guarantee the right of every person to say whatever he pleases. It does not provide a cover for the sleazy men who use and abuse children in exposing them to the leering eyes of pedophiles. And all of this comes from the court at the very time when priests of the Roman Catholic Church have brought shame on the human race by abusing children. The Supreme Court's decision will make prosecuting the priest much harder. Chief Justice William H. Rehnquist and Associate Justice Antonin Scalia, the 2 brightest and most honorable men on the court, strongly objected to the majority's foolish and inexcusable decision on child pornography. The Tennessean quoted Chief Justice Rehnquist as affirming, "The aim of ensuring the enforceability of our nation's child pornography laws is a compelling one. The law is targeted to this aim by extending the definition of child pornography to reach computer-generated images that are virtually indistinguishable from real children engaged in sexually explicit conduct." Page 7A. Please think about Justice Rehnquist's reasoning for just a moment. He affirms, and I agree 100% with him, "The aim of ensuring the enforceability of our nation's child pornography laws is a compelling one." Are those laws designed to protect the people who produce pornography, whether computer-generated or otherwise? Or are they designed to protect children? If the laws were designed to protect children against vicious moral assault, the Supreme Court should have upheld the 1996 law passed by the Congress of the United States. But if the laws would make it easier for the sleazy pornographers to carry on their devilish trade, the court was right in declaring the law invalid. Chief Justice Rehnquist knows, as should every reasonable person, that distinguishing between the use of children in computer-generated pornographic films and the films that use actual children is extremely difficult, if not impossible, in some cases. The computer experts are getting closer and closer to imitating actual people in films of all kinds, and not just pornographic films. In fact, some film producers are even toying with the idea of dispensing altogether with actual people in films and relying totally on computer-generated images. Will that ever happen? I do not know, but I would not be surprised. Except for the damage to the children who are used in pornographic films, the long-term effect on society of using computer-generated child pornography will not be all that different. The article in the Tennessean says that conservatives outside the court were outraged. The article quotes Jan LaRue, Senior Director of Legal Studies at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., as saying that the Supreme Court can entertain the notion that virtual images of children being sexually violated has value that needs protection is an abomination. Page 7A. When I read that article in the Tennessean, I had never heard of Jan LaRue. But on Friday, April the 19th, 2002, 3 days after the infamous Supreme Court decision, I purchased a copy of the book, Protecting Your Children in an X-Rated World. Frank York, former editor of the Public Policy Department of Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson's family organization, and Jan LaRue wrote the book. I have just begun to read the book, but I shall read several brief excerpts that Jan LaRue wrote about her own life. Please listen to this brilliant lawyer who was the object of child molestation. "Having studied the spread of pornography in our culture for more than 10 years, I know that most child molesters use porn to fuel their desires before acting out their fantasies on children." She mentions being molested in a theater when she was just 4 or 5 years old. A businessman sitting next to her kept touching her, even though her parents were sitting beside her. She further comments, "At the age of 5, I was molested by the father of my babysitter. My step-uncle molested me repeatedly and violently for 2 years when I was 7 or 8. During the same period, my elementary school principal tried to molest me one day while driving me home when I'd missed the bus at school. By the time I was 8 years old, I had been molested by 4 men. Pages 2 and 3. Did the molestation affect her life through the years? At age 15, she had a serious drinking problem. She dated older boys and became sexually promiscuous. She quit high school and went to work for a law firm. The men who ran the law firm bought copies of Playboy and shared it with all the lawyers in the firm and with a stockbroker and CPA who occupied the same offices. The men invited her to sit in on their immoral behavior. She says, we'd lock the doors, I'd make drinks, and we'd look through Playboy together. This went on month after month, and I was unwittingly being desensitized to what we were viewing. One afternoon, after I'd had too many drinks, these men started telling me that I was far more beautiful than the women in the magazines and should be photographed. Coincidentally, one of them had a camera with him. They convinced me to disrobe and pose for them. All those men are probably dead today, but I still wonder if someone doesn't yet have those pictures. To this day, it's painful and embarrassing to think about what I allowed them to do to me. Pages 3 and 4. If the Supreme Court's endorsement of computer-generated child pornography bothers you, please buy and read Frank York and Jan LaRue's book, Protecting Your Child in an X-Rated World. Then use your voice in speaking out against pornography, all pornography. Pray to God that He will help us to win the battle against the destruction of our children through pornography. The editorial staff writers for the Tennessean almost always use their infallible wisdom in pontificating on moral and spiritual problems, such as the one I am discussing with you today. I wonder if we ought to just throw away our Bibles and allow the editorial writers of the Tennessean to tell us what is right and wrong. They always know, or at least pretend to know, what we should believe and how we should act. And when they are wrong, if they ever are, they never apologize for taking the wrong side of an issue. Do you get the impression from reading newspapers and listening to radio and television that the people who run these news organizations have the same moral values the rest of us entertain? Or do you wonder if they have any reasonable moral values? Are they trying to change the moral and spiritual landscape of our nation? Tragically, the answer in most cases seems to be yes. On Saturday, April the 20th, 2002, the Tennessean printed an editorial with the title, Supreme Court Gets Real on Child Pornography. They recognize that many who disagree with the Supreme Court's decision will accuse the court of approving child pornography. It did and does, whatever their motivation and excuses. The editorial writers deny that the ruling had that effect. They argue that the ruling demonstrates the substantial difference between exploiting children and expression that exploits no one. Page 14a. No, that is not my interpretation of the editorial writers' views. That is exactly what they say. Computer-generated child pornography exploits no one, these all-wise editorial writers assert. Can you believe that men and women intelligent enough to work for a major newspaper have so little judgment on moral issues? It is true that computer-generated child pornography does not exploit actual children in the process of making pornographic films about children. But it exploits children by whetting the lustful appetites of pedophiles and other child molesters. The Supreme Court and the Tennessean have done enormous damage by their stand on this mind-damaging, body-wrecking, and soul-destroying business. If the editorial writers do not understand the tragedies that follow men's use of child pornography and other kinds of pornography, they have not done their homework. Would it do any good if I sent them a copy of Frank York and Jan LaRue's book, Protecting Your Children in an X-Rated World? They would almost certainly say, those writers are right-wing radicals. They would then throw the book into the trash can. They have already made up their mind, so why be troubled with a book full of facts? The law the Supreme Court overturned was the Child Pornography Prevention Act of 1996. The law applied to computer-designed images that look real, very real, in fact, and the use of adults who have the appearance of children involved in sexual activity. The editorial writers say that child pornography laws exist to protect children, but computerized images do not harm children because the content is fabricated. Page 14a. They even foolishly assert that the law was so broad it could affect works as varied as Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet and contemporary movies like Traffic and American Beauty. As an old English teacher, I'm familiar with Romeo and Juliet, but I never heard of the two contemporary movies. But any television program or movie or book that uses children, either actual or computer-generated, is morally stupid, destructive, and inexcusable. Do the editorial writers approve of using a 13-year-old girl in the filming of Romeo and Juliet? If they do, their moral values are even lower than I had imagined. The editorial writers agree with Attorney General John Ashcroft that the Supreme Court's decision will make the prosecution of child pornographers more difficult. I am a strong supporter of the American Constitution. But does the Constitution allow for the exploiting of children through the publication of child pornography, whether actual or computer-generated? Every time child pornography reaches the hands and minds of our children or of adults, the lives of children are in danger. Have you ever heard of snuff films? These are films where children are actually killed and cut in pieces. Does anyone believe that snuff films that are computer-generated will have no effect on the killing of children? Would the Supreme Court and the editorial writers of the Tennessean object to snuff films, even if they are computer-generated? Do they not have enough good sense and judgment to know the great damage snuff films pose to children? York and LaRue furnished the following information about what has occurred in the state of Arizona. Statistics issued in 1998 indicate that 70% of the sexual offenders in the state prisons victimize children. 80% of the physical exams done on sexual assault victims are on children. Of the 3,000 sex offenders in Arizona in 1998, 2,100 had targeted children. Of those, 30% attacked family members, 44% attacked non-family members, and only 25% went after strangers. Page 33. But is there a connection between rape and the use of pornographic material? Dr. W. Marshall published a report in the Journal of Sex Research in which he gave these statistics. 86% of the convicted rapists said that they were regular users of pornography, and 57% admitted direct imitation of pornographic scenes when they committed rape. Page 35. Do the Supreme Court justices and the editorial writers of the Tennessean know these facts, or does any of this matter to them? I pray to God Almighty that it matters to you. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.